Oh, I'm going to take your calls today and introduce you to two fascinating Jewish believers.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
We have been on live daily talk radio now for over 15 years, going on 16 actually this summer. And I don't believe I've done what I'm doing today. It's going to be a little different show. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire. Now, the phone lines are going to be open the first half of the broadcast. So you've got like 25, 26 minutes to call in 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Anything you want to talk about that relates in any way to The Line of Fire, give me a call and I'll try to get to your calls. 866-348-7884. I was about to say the word foe and I jumped ahead. That applies to friend or foe. All right, what's unique about today's broadcast? All right, here's the deal. It is right now, Eastern Time, 3:04 in the afternoon. I am scheduled to be on a flight to Rome in exactly 3 hours. It's about a half hour from here to the airport, and for international flights, you're expected to be there 2 hours in advance, which means that halfway through this broadcast, you will be listening to me, and those watching will be watching, but I will not be physically sitting here because the second half of the broadcast, I'm going to introduce you to two Jewish believers. One is a learned scientist, a professor, Dr. James Tor. He and I recorded this segment, some weeks back now, and we never aired it. So we're going to air that for you at the bottom of the hour, and then right after that, and this beginning in intro, outro, we recorded right before I left, you're going to meet Art Katz. If you don't know Art Katz, you need to get to know Art Katz, dear brother who went to be with the Lord in 2007. So you're going to get to meet two very different, very wonderfully saved Jewish men the second half of the broadcast. And as you're listening, you could pray because I'll be on my way to the airport from there. We just recorded before the broadcast today. The show's for Thursday and Friday, so we've got some great programming coming your way this week. Okay, 866-348-7884. Why is it that as much as I'm focused on what's happening in the world around us, as much as I'm constantly seeing bad news, crazy stuff happening in the world, grievous stuff having to do with Israel, human suffering is always very real, and then just junk going on in the church and human failure. Why is it that it seems that I'm always encouraged and upbeat? Well, first thing, God wires us differently, right? I have a sanguine personality. Others have a more melancholic personality. We're just wired differently. Certain things are genetic. Certain things have to do with our own life experience, our upbringing, things we've experienced over the course of life. Some things have to do with our walk with the Lord and what we've experienced in the Lord. Some things have to do with our physical care for our bodies and minds, etc. They're all different factors, for sure. But I know that another reason is that God wants me to help encourage you. That God wants me to be, again, we each have our calling. We need each other. Yes, there are times to grieve and mourn. Yes, I agonize on my face before God. Yes, sometimes I feel the weight and the intensity of burden that the Lord carries that he shares in a tiny drop with us. Yes, sometimes it feels like you're going to explode because so much is wrong in the world. Yes, there are times to mourn. You're hurt because people you love are hurting. People near to you go through difficult times. Yes, that's the world that we live in. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to dance, for sure. And yes, tears of intercession are very precious in God's sight. And these are things that as we walk with him, we will experience. But it's also important that we don't lose hope. It's also important that we don't lose sight of the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead and is Lord. And as I've been signing copies of Turn the Tide, which releases on May 7th, just signed their first 100-plus pre-orders right before leaving for Italy. The verse I'm putting in it, because I always put a verse in books that I sign, is John 1:5. I was getting ready to sign my team member, Eric, thinking, what verse? Yeah, John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't overcome it, doesn't comprehend it, that God's light is going to shine, and God's kingdom is going to be established on the earth, and until that day, it will advance, and it will advance, and it will advance. And yes, every day people are dying without Jesus. That's true. And right now, as I speak, people are suffering an unimaginable pain, and if we just got a glimpse of a fraction of it, we'd collapse. God sees it, knows it all. Yet in the midst of that, friends, God's light is shining. Every single day, every moment, someone is being born again, and there is joy in the presence of the angels in heaven. Sins are being forgiven. Sicknesses are being healed. People are being set free. God is answering prayers. People are encountering his goodness. And every day, life is coming into the world with new children, and there's rejoicing and celebration. No, we cannot just focus on the good and the positive. We have to recognize the pain, the sin, the bad. But we cannot just focus on that. Otherwise, we lose hope. We lose perspective. We forget that God is king, that he does rule, that he does reign, that many things on earth take place that grieve him, that are contrary to his will, and yet in his larger will, there's his will of what he desires, but then there's also what he allows to take place. In the midst of all the sin and madness and satanic activity, God is at work. God is at work bringing together a people for himself. And even the suffering and pain in this world provides an environment in which we can grow. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will suffer tribulation, but be encouraged, take heart. I have overcome the world. Paul wrote in Romans, the 5th chapter, that it's this very tribulation, this very suffering and pressure that produces within us perseverance, that then produces character, that produces a hope that will not be disappointed. Paul wrote in Romans, the 8th chapter, asking who shall separate us from the love of Christ. First thing on the list, tribulation. No, that won't do it. Not even death, not even life can separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God, which is in Messiah Jesus, our Lord. Paul wrote in Acts, the 14th chapter, or Paul said along with Barnabas to the believers there that we must go through many tribulations to inherit the kingdom of God. So on our journey in this world, from this world into eternity, we will go through many tribulations. But friends, that which Satan means to destroy us, that which Satan means to discourage us, that which Satan means to hurt us, these are the very things that God can use to strengthen us. The difficulties of the world, the obstacles, they can become opportunities. The stumbling blocks can become stepping stones. Even when I see cultural madness unfolding, okay, it's grievous because it dishonors the Lord. It's grievous because people are being hurt. It's grievous because believers are being deceived. But it's also something to me that I've known was coming for years. And the fact it unfolds reminds me that we're on the right side of this issue. The fact that these are coming to pass and that things on the one hand seem to be getting worse is a reminder that the same God who showed me and others, or just looking at the trajectory, you could see where society is going, is the same God who showed me that there would be a gospel-based moral and cultural pushback. So it's almost like if you're getting treated, you know, maybe I'm thinking of my son-in-law, Ryan, who had an injury to his knee, a bad injury. So you got to go through physical therapy. and it's painful, but you know this is the process, that you go through the pain and you get this outcome here. So sometimes when you know, okay, it's going to feel like you're getting worse before you get better, or the circumstances around you, have you ever had that? It's going to look like things are getting worse before they get better. We're telling you in advance so you won't be discouraged when that happens. Or when you're traveling, you're going to feel jet lag, and you're going to feel like, wow, I don't feel any anointing. I'm getting ready to minister. I don't feel God's with me. It's just jet lag, and you haven't slept, and it'll pass. Knowing these things, knowing, okay, this is what you can experience, but this is what comes on the other side. Or as it says in the Psalms, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So we know that we have the eternal resurrection hope, but even in this world, friend, God brings light out of darkness. And I didn't plan on sharing these things. Depending on calls coming in, I was going to go in one direction or another. But I believe it is timely for many of you. I believe God has laid this on my heart because it's timely for many of you. Not some personal prophetic word, you know, being reproduced, you know, in the early days of computer printers and you sign, it looked like there was a real signature, and you think, wow, the man of God sent me this personal prophecy. You know, it was sent out to 100,000 people on his mailing list as if it was a personal word just for you. John, I feel the Lord is showing me that this is going to happen. No, I'm not giving you some personal prophecy to someone I don't even know. I'm saying that I know that these words of truth that are scripture-based are especially timely for some of you right now, that it comes at a time when you forgot the reality of God being a redeemer. You forgot how he delivered you in the past. You forgot how he brought light out of darkness, or you've never experienced that and wonder, is it all over? If you're a child of God, friends, the best is yet to come, either in this world or the world to come. Unless we are hellbound, then as children of God, the best is yet to come, because we're going to be with him forever. And even in this world, friends, I've been in the Lord now 52 plus years, seen a lot, lost some things, regret some things. I can tell you, more than ever in my life, I know the faithfulness of God, the truthfulness of God, the reliability of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God, the perseverance of God on our behalf, and I put all my trust in him and none of my trust in me. So lean on him afresh right now. And if you've never known him, if you're going through calamity and hardship on your own, recognize your need for him. Recognize that you've sinned and fallen short, and ask him to have mercy on you through the cross, where Jesus took your sin on his own shoulders, died for you so you could be forgiven and free. And right where you are, say, God, have mercy on me. Save me. I acknowledge I'm a sinner, and I believe Jesus died for my sins, rose from the dead. God, save me. Forgive me. Give me a brand new life. I want to live for you. We'll be right back.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. Being aware of the dangers of homocysteine is crucial to protecting our health. This natural occurring amino acid that the body creates plays a vital role. But when elevated in excess, it can pose significant risk to our health. One of the dangers of elevated homocysteine is the impact on cardiovascular health. Research has shown that high homocysteine can contribute to heart disease, stroke, and other cardiovascular conditions. Another risk factor, it has been linked to cognitive decline and neurodegenerative conditions. One of the best ways to manage homocysteine is to supplement with B12, B6, and folate found in Trivita's HCY Guard. In my own wellness journey, I was concerned because of family history. My grandfather passed away at 41 years of age with heart failure. My father was diagnosed with heart disease at 38 years of age. When I was made aware of the dangers of homocysteine, I knew I would find a supplement formula to help manage my own health. It was with that knowledge that HCY Guard was developed at Trivita Wellness. It is a favorite supplement for those wanting to manage homocysteine and promote cardiovascular health.
To order HCY Guard for yourself or someone you care about, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. 1-800-771-5584 or online at TRIVITA. TriVita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. If you'd like to call, just got a few minutes. I might be able to take some calls. 866-348-7884, second half of the broadcast. You get to meet two fascinating Jewish believers. You'll hear their testimonies. One that I interviewed, one will be playing a testimony, Dr. James Tour and Art Katz. Shout out of appreciation, as I do daily, to our co-sponsor, Trivita. If you don't use their great wellness products, check them out. They don't take the place of diet and exercise, but boy, they can really help in so many other ways. Great supplements, and maybe get you jump-started going in the right direction. Go to Trivita.com. When you use the code BROWN25, gives you the best discount, 25%, plus 100% of your first order is donated to the Line of Fire and more than a tithe of subsequent orders. Or you can call 800-771-5584, 800-771-5584. Let me step back for a moment and give you a larger perspective. I started doing interviews now on my newest book that will come out May 7th, Turn the Tide, How to Ignite a Cultural Awakening. It is book two in the series From Revival to Reformation. Book one came out earlier this year, Seize the Moment, How to Fuel the Fires of Revival. Will there be a book three? I don't know. Definitely is a book one and a book two, From Revival to Reformation. Could well be there'll be a book three, four, five, or just two. Don't know. Don't have plans for the others. I've got next books that are coming out already written. Very excited about those in the next months ahead. But let me take you back behind the scenes and explain some of the rationale, spiritual rationale, in terms of what I understand happening in the world around us. I've been grieved for many years in the church world to see the recognition on a certain level that America was losing its moral and spiritual bearings, almost going crazy, right? And yet I didn't see that much desperation in the church, that much crying out, God, you have to visit us, revival or we die. I didn't really see a lot of that going on. And that concerned me. I began to see a rising hunger and thirst for revival in late 2019 and early 2020. Even leaders asking me to preach on revival themes, which means repentance, crying out, recognizing our need. God, we need your help. We've sinned, starting with us, not focusing on the darkness in the world, but the lack of light in the church. And no sooner did I see this beginning to rise than I felt something's happening. Something's beginning that, lo and behold, COVID throws the whole nation upside down. And then the death of George Floyd and the racial upheaval through the country. Then the chaos surrounding the 2020 elections. Then the January 6th storming of the Capitol and how and all the news surrounding that. And then scandal after scandal in the church. You think, what in the world is going on? Well, it's a time of shaking. It's not over, but a time of shaking and purging in the church as well as in the world. That the refiner's fire came and exposed a tremendous amount of junk in the church, scandals in all different parts of the church. The failed Trump prophecies guaranteeing 8 straight years in the White House, and on and on. And just exposing our weakness and the division within the church. And then I realized, you know, it was only after I thought, well, this is in keeping with the cry for revival. That when God comes, he doesn't just come to bless, he comes to shake, he comes to sift, he comes to refine, he comes to purify. So a lot of junk is coming up to the surface. And then as I was traveling more in 2022, I was in church after church, one after another after another. And God was moving powerfully, and people were being powerfully impacted. And I was just watching and seeing something's going on. I'm watching young people being touched, not because of me. It was happening before I got there. And I said, something's going on. And I got on the air as early 2023, and I said, friends, the beginning of the next wave of revival has started. It could be years and years for this to unfold, but the beginning of the very beginning of the first wave of the next revival has already started in America. About 8 days after that, Asbury revival got the attention of the nation. I said, I told you, friends, something's going on. So something has started. Seize the moment, says that when God begins to move, you got to grab hold of it because you may never see it again in your lifetime. 25 principles as to how to do it. And then turn the tide. How to ignite a cultural awakening. When God does move, when God does pour out his spirit, when something dramatic does happen, how do we now go from revival in the church to reformation in society? That's what the books are about. All right, let's try to go quickly to the phones. We'll go to Canada. Huju, time is limited, so dive right in, please.
Am I talking to Dr. Brown?
Yes, you are.
Okay, my name is Hujurutu. God gave me that name in 1981. He sent 7 angels to come and tell me that God changed my name. And my question is, how do we get people to get into the Word of God? Because everything that happens in my ministry, work, by the way, I am...
Tell you what, I apologize for interrupting. I cannot attest or deny the angelic reference there. So we'll just pass on that. How do you get people in the Word of God? Yeah, it's essential. It is essential. In short, if we could get believers in serious daily devotion with the Lord in prayer and in encountering God through his Word, taking in his Word, digesting it, living on it, we wouldn't need to pray for revival because we wouldn't need revival because we'd all be alive and burning bright. So we need to remind people that no more they can function without physical food, they cannot function without spiritual food. We need to increase hunger, desire, thirst for God in the Word by sharing our own life experience. You know, people always want to talk to me about diet and lifestyle because God helped me lose 100 pounds 9.5 years ago, almost 10 years ago now, and keep it off not by dieting but by changing my lifestyle. And they see how healthy and vibrant I am, not boasting about tomorrow, but I can boast about today, healthy, vibrant, enjoying God, enjoying life, full of energy in life at the age of 69, feeling like I'm in my 20s on the inside and able to do whatever I want to do on the outside. So they want to ask about it because they see the fruit in my life. So let them see the fruit in our lives. Let it be that, okay, I can't do it for someone else, but I can determine I'm really going to meet with God. I can determine I'm going to give myself to God in prayer. I can determine I'm going to seek his face earnestly. I can determine I'm going to shine by being with him, not by putting something on, not some show, but by being with him. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found, and I ate them. And your word to me was the joy and rejoicing of my heart because I'm called by your name, O Lord of hosts. Jesus said the words that I speak to their spirit and their life. Let it be that we take in those living words in such a way that our lives are changed. And as we take in the word, that it gets us hungrier to know God and walk in obedience to him. And as people see our light shining, let it be that they're jealous. Oh, I need to do this more deeply in my own life on a daily basis. Deeper encounters with God on a daily basis. The busyness of ministry is good and important. Writing, preaching, teaching, radio, that's good and important. But more important is being with God. All the things we do in this world have certain levels of importance, but the most important is being with him. Let us cultivate a deeper relationship with God. Let me say it again. Let us cultivate a deeper relationship with God. Father, give us a hunger, a thirst to know you better. Reveal your Son to us more powerfully. Draw us by your Spirit into your word and fellowship with you. May we hunger and thirst for you and be filled with you, filled with your word, filled with your Spirit to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. May it be so. All right, on the other side of the break, you're going to get to meet Dr. James Tour, and then after that, our cats. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name, not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world. God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am with Dr. James Tour. He is professor of chemistry, professor of materials science, and nanoengineering at Rice University in Houston, Texas. Dr. Tour, welcome to The Line of Fire. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So this is just going to be an initial tease for everyone, and we'll get Dr. Tour back for a full show, hopefully, where he can answer your questions as well. But, sir, you were not always a believer in Jesus, and you came to faith, and now you are this highly respected professor. If someone's watching, listening, they don't know you, why are you so absolutely convinced in the reality of God, the existence of God, even from a scientific point of view?
Well, first of all, I don't know anyone who always believed in Jesus. I mean, there's an event that happens in all of our lives. Nobody's born that way. You got to be born again that way. But
some are raised in the faith, though. So at least as far as they remember, they always believe. But
yeah, I'm just poking you.
All right.
So, why do I believe? You know, I had an experience with Jesus when I was 18. A young man shared with me about Jesus. We were in the laundry room doing laundry, August freshman year. And he gave me a presentation of the gospel. He drew it out on a piece of paper. He was with Navigators Campus Ministry. God on one side, man on the other, this chasm of sin separating us. And he had me read the verse, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I said, "I'm not a sinner. I never killed anybody. I never robbed a bank. How could I be a sinner?" And I know why I said that, because in modern secular Judaism, I come from a secular Jewish home in New York area, born in the city and grew up just north of the city. We don't look at little things like sin, little things as sin. It's big things gotta be sin. And we never discussed sin in my home. Then he had me read a verse out of Matthew 5:28. I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And that just stabbed me, because I was addicted to pornography since the age of 14. And I would love to be able to come in here and tell you, well, I was thinking of the cosmos. No, I was thinking of women. I was consumed with women, just thinking about them. I never had a girlfriend because I just never had the personality for a girlfriend. But pornography got me at the age of 14. So here I am, 18, in college. Nobody knew about this. Back in those days, we didn't talk about our problems. Now people, you know, just say, "I'm going to see my therapist today." Nobody would have ever said that back then. We didn't talk about our problems. So I was deeply convicted when I read that verse. And so he shared the gospel with me. And a few months later, I was in my room all alone. I got on my knees, not even sure why I did that. Most Jews I knew stood when they pray. Most Christians sat when they pray. And I said, "Lord, forgive me, because I am a sinner." And amazing, this peace just started to fill the room. And I felt this burden of sin start to lift from me. And then all of a sudden, to my right, there's somebody standing. And I can't see with my eyes, I can't hear it with my voice, but the presence was so strong. Right away, I faced in that direction, just in front of me, and my face went down to the ground. I was already on my knees, just weeping, and it was like love being poured out, kindness. There was no fear. And I didn't want to get up, just the presence. And I knew this was Jesus. I don't know how I knew. When I got up from that, I don't even know how long I was down there, and I was wiping my tears. I couldn't stop thinking about Jesus. I couldn't stop. And I was dreaming in my dreams about Jesus. In my dreams, I was telling people about Jesus. Here's this kid from New York City, Jewish guy, telling people about Jesus in his dreams. I didn't know how to tell people about Jesus, but I'm just saying, Jesus is there. You got to see Jesus. I didn't know that dream, those dreams would be prophetic, because that's all I do all my life, is I'm telling people about Jesus. This young man saw me 2 weeks later. He said, "Jim, have you received Jesus in your heart?" I said, "I think I have. Why do you ask?" He said, You haven't stopped smiling for weeks." And I said, "I feel different. How can I keep this closeness to God? I never felt like this before." He said, "If you read the Bible every day, you'll stay close to God. If you don't, you won't." So I've read the Bible every day for 45 years. I'm talking every day. I haven't missed a day in 45 years, every day. And I read from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through to Revelation 22. When I'm done, I start again. And I'm in no hurry. I read it slowly, meditatively. I can spend a week in a paragraph if I feel the Lord speaking to me. So I know from a depth of relationship. Now, since then, I've researched so much about the veracity of the claims of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the veracity of the text, the biblical text that we have. So that came subsequent. Mm-hmm. But I grabbed on to this one, and in fact, that day I was delivered from pornography. I mean, if you've had an addiction and then all of a sudden it's gone, I mean, you really sense that. And it was just gone. I had a lot of other problems that I still have to this day. But that one, he showed me my sin through it, and he showed me his power by delivering me from it. And if you've ever had a consuming addiction and you're free from it, it's like something happened to me that day.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's not a thing in my head of scientifically I figured this thing out. Jesus touched me in my heart.
Yes.
That's how I got saved. I was only 18. I mean, I wasn't having all these profound thoughts. I really wasn't. I was just a regular teenager. I was thinking about girls, and I was thinking about, I wanted to, you know, be successful in a career. But you spend year after year in the scriptures and knowing God. I mean, it just becomes a part of your life. Now, in science, I see over and over again. I mean, if you want to call it the fine-tuning of the universe, if you want to call it the amazing biological system, I'm looking into a camera lens that is made out of glass and silicon. Why isn't it made out of something like my own eyes, out of some long vitamin molecule, like a rhodopsin-type molecule that is going to get hit with a photon and isomerize and then eject an electron down an optic nerve that is going to go into my brain. Why don't we build our cameras like that, our camera lenses like that? Because we don't know how. Because with molecules, it's too hard. This is why we build camera lenses not like our eyes. We build it out of silicon and glass. If we could build it out of molecules, and we have all these examples around us. It's ubiquitous in life, eyes. But we can't copy it. We don't know how to do it. We don't know how to do it. That's not saying we won't one day, but it's just amazing. Biological systems are extraordinary at the chemical level. Poor biologists fly over 30,000 feet. They never really get to the molecular level where they're like, wow, this is amazing. You can't make molecules do this. Nobody can. So that, again and again, underscores for me, it's not just camera lenses. It's everything I see around me, all the materials. Because I'm a chemist, I know what constitutes these and why they have the properties they have. I know why a tree is the way it is, why you can run your car into a tree and the car is demolished and the tree's just there. Because the carbohydrate strands have these hydrogen bonds between them, so they'll give and they'll spring right back. I mean, this compressive strength on wood is just amazing. And all of these are biological materials. So. Yes, that underscores for me the greatness of God. He's all the more magnanimous in my eyes. But he touched me in my heart.
Yeah.
Jesus is my friend. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. Jesus said, he assesses our love by our keeping of his commandments. And if you do this, my Father and I are going to come and make our abode with you. I mean, think about that. That to me is where it is. I mean, this has been witnessed in my heart that I love God. I walk with him. And when I disappoint him, it breaks my heart. And I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I love him so much. So he touches me in my heart, and my head is secondary.
Yeah, you know what's fascinating is you share all that. And again, everyone, if you're listening and watching, we do want to get an opportunity where we can bring Dr. Tour on live. We pre-recorded this segment, and you can ask him questions, things that you may struggle with in your head, and say, boy, I'm in school, and I'm hearing this or that, I'm reading this, or I see these objections, and they're throwing me. But Dr. Tour, when the Lord saved me, 16 years old, heroin shooting, LSD using hippie rock drummer, so 16-year-old, conservative Jewish, but bar mitzvah, but very nominal, and drugs were the big stronghold of my life, and I was instantly and completely set free. It was not about messianic prophecies or debating with rabbis. I didn't know any of the prophecies at that point, and arguing for other things in scripture. The Lord transformed me. It's like John 9, whether this man's a sinner or not, I don't know. I just know I was blind, now I see. Or my old friend and departed colleague, Leonard Ravenhill, used to say, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. And then it was after that transformed life, that I began to meet with the rabbis, and they began to challenge me. You can't tell us what to believe. You don't even know Hebrew, and so on and so forth. So then it was that intellectual pursuit after that that then confirmed what I had known and experienced in my own life. But to hear you say it is beautiful, and that's been the reality for me these last 52 years. There is the reality of a fellowship with a living God, and Jesus being our very best friend. So again, this just a tease, just an intro to this man of God and this professor, but I'd love to have a subsequent opportunity when our schedules coincide where we can have you on live and folks can come with their questions and say, okay, I've heard this scientifically, and because there's a certain arrogance that things are presented with as if we're just the ignorant ones. So knowing there are folks like you who know the subject and it didn't take away from your faith, it only enhanced it. It's wonderful and beautiful. What's the best way for people to access your materials? Is there a website or a YouTube channel? What's the best venue?
Yeah, so I have a YouTube channel. It's Dr. James Tour. So just go to YouTube and in the box there, type Dr. James Tour. It'll come up and there's a bunch of videos on there. You can watch for days and days. I also have a professional website, jmtour.com, jmtour.com. And under the personal topic section, there's a bunch of resources there of things that I've written and then all of my public.
Are you experiencing fatigue, heart palpitations, or tingling in your hands and feet? These may be signs that you are deficient in vitamin B12, which may increase your risk of serious cardiovascular conditions without you even knowing it. I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health and Director of Wellness Services at Trivita, and I have some exciting news for you. Introducing Trivita's HCY Guard, the breakthrough sublingual B12 natural supplement scientifically formulated to support maximum absorption and support healthy levels of homocysteine. What is homocysteine, you may ask? Well, it's an amino acid that, when elevated, can cause damage to the lining of your arteries, which over time increases your overall risk for a cardiovascular event. Trivita's HCY Guard is highly absorbable because of its sublingual form and because of its methylated form of B12, which enhances its bioavailability, maximizing its crucial role in reducing unhealthy levels of homocysteine. And here's the best part. The B12 and other active ingredients in Trivita's HCY Guard support healthy energy production, brain function, nerve function, and enhancing your overall well-being. So if you're ready to take charge of your heart health and support your body's natural defenses against artery damage, then get your pack of Trivita's HCY Guard today.
To order HCY Guard for yourself or someone you care about, go to Trivita.com, spelled T-R-I-V-I-T-A, and use promo code BROWN25 for 25% off your order. Or call 1-800-771-5584. That's 1-800-771-5584.
These statements are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, friends, this is Michael Brown. Welcome back to the broadcast. I want to introduce you now to another Jewish believer. We just met Dr. James Tor. This is my old friend Art Katz. Brilliant, penetrating, prophetic insight. Wonderfully saved, went to be with the Lord in the year 2007. I used to tell Art, if there's flesh in heaven, you'll find it. Well, get to meet Art for yourself. Here is his testimony. Just about the whole thing we'll get to play. Let's listen.
The book is the actual journal that I carried 38 years ago as the hitchhiking, disillusioned, cynical, ex-Marxist, atheist Jew. I had come to a place of disillusionment as a teacher and idealist, as we Jews often are. My ideologies and philosophies had collapsed, my humanist assumptions. I put a pack on my back. I took a year's leave of absence from the teaching profession, traveling through Europe and the Middle East, seeking to find some philosophical stone that had been left unturned, but instead found that there was a God searching for me. So this is a remarkable book because it's not a retrospective book of a man looking back and remembering. It's the actual day-by-day account of an atheist being apprehended by God. Ooh. So it's remarkable in its candor and reality. And I...
Where do you start in all those days? Can you pick a day and start somewhere with that story?
There's some remarkable episodes of being picked up off the side of the road as a hitchhiker. It's something for a proud man to be dependent on those who will take him up unto themselves in his utter dependency. Traveling for 14 months, I had no alternative but to travel at the bottom of the line. It's something to stand by the side of the road and waiting for someone to stop. At a man who is 34, coming on to 35, and a man did stop for me one day. I'd been standing in the drizzle and rain for about 3 hours in Switzerland watching cars whiz by. I thought, well, so much for my assumption about human brotherhood and mankind and people just looking the other way as if you're non-existent. But a man did stop for me with a brand new car, and my suspicions were aroused when he got out of the car to greet me. Most people would just beckon you to come on. I thought, what's in it for him? Certainly I'm not a comely piece of baggage. And he greeted me and took my filthy, wet rucksack and threw it in the back seat of his car without any awareness of what it was doing to his upholstery. He had me to sit on the front seat. And off we drove as if I were doing him the favor and I was the exalted guest. And he turned and he looked at me. I was well past the youth and past the tourist season. He said, why are you traveling like this? I said, I'm a modern man whose life is broken at its foundations. I'm seeking for the deepest answers of life. And before I could finish, and I said, and I'm Jewish. I said, now why did I add that? That surely will turn him off. And I looked cautiously to see his face, and the man was beaming as if the fact that I was a Jew was of uttermost significance and a joy for him. And he insisted that we stop for refreshments at his expense. And it's one of those golden moments that come perhaps once in a man's life where something transcends ordinary conversation. This man had a capacity to draw my heart out remarkably, and I found myself sharing with him the deepest turmoil of my heart, not as a life that had failed, but as a life that had been preeminently successful. But in my success was my failure. I had come to the end of the line. I was disillusioned about mankind. Ideologies had failed me. A marriage to a German woman had collapsed. My idealism and my assumption about human goodwill and intelligence had collapsed, and I had nothing to offer my students but raise questions I myself could not answer. And so I'm pouring out my soul to this Gentile stranger, wondering why I was sharing with him some of the deepest secrets of my life I'd not shared with wife, mother, personal friends. And he just had that capacity. And finally, I just spit it all out. There was nothing more to say. I had come to the very end of myself. And I looked at this man, I thought, what is he going to say to me? I've been an ex-Marxist, I'm a university graduate, well-read, traveled, nothing new under the sun. And he said to me in a quiet and an assured voice, Artie, said, all of this, of course, is in German. Do you know what it is that the world needs? I thought, well, this man needs.
Each word is a testimony.
A million miles of my mistakes, so couldn't keep your love away. However far away I am from home, that's how far your love will go.
And his word is always true on the Truth Network.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213. Or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
I'm truly happy for those who mourn. They'll be comforted. He turns a lot of things upside down. And he comes with a message of liberation. When you think of earthly revolutionary movements, which are almost always fleshly and almost always destructive and almost always bloody, it's rare that you have a positive, bloodless revolution in terms of a transfer of power. Because what is revolution? Revolution is radical, dramatic, sweeping change. Revolution is out with the old and in with the new. Revolution is overthrow the status quo. Normally bloody, normally violent, normally fueled with rebellion. But sometimes, based on good and righteous principles, there can be a bloodless revolution in society where you get rid of the bad stuff and bring in the new. But what's the thing that sparks revolutions? We're not free. We're not free. What sparked the American Revolution against Great Britain? We're not free. And you know, the Communist Manifesto, workers of all nations unite. So there is this call to come together and get free. But freedom, real, ultimate freedom, only comes through the gospel. And that's part of Jesus' message. His first sermon in Nazareth, in Capernaum, in Luke, the fourth chapter, is a message that the Spirit of the Lord's on him. He quotes from Isaiah 61, Ruach Adonai Elohim Alai, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Ruach Adonai Elohim, the Spirit of the Lord God's on me. Ya'an Mashach Adonai Oti Levaser Avim. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to the meek, and to do what? To proclaim freedom to the captives. Jesus comes with the ultimate message of revolution, which is one of liberation. You can be set free from bondage. And then think of this. This is how a revolutionary thinks, just in the natural, right? Life as it is not worth living, but the cause is worth dying for. Life as it is not worth living, but the cause is worth dying for. Yeah. And that's how a natural, earthly revolutionary thinks. A Jesus revolutionary hears him say, what? Leave everything and follow me. In other words, he's not just a religious preacher. He is someone with a radically different message. God's revolution. God's perfect way of bringing about change. God's principles being applied in very, very different ways into this world. And he gives the call of revolution, leave everything and follow me. Life as it is not worth living. The cause is worth dying for. But you add Jesus into this life, now he becomes the very purpose of our life, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. And then think of the Great Commission. And Matthew 28, 18 and following, where he says, I'm with you always to the ends of the earth, ends with saying that. He calls his disciples together and says what? Go into all the world and make disciples of the nations, and I'm with you always. In other words, let's go change the world together. One life at a time, one heart at a time, one person at a time. Change, not just hearing a message of salvation to go to heaven, but change to be a disciple here on earth. So all this talk about the kingdom, all these different principles that are set in motion, they are all revolutionary in the best sense of the word. That's why it is a word that we have taken on in a positive way as one of our values, that revival in the church will spark a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. Yes, it is reformation as well, but the change is radical. The change is dramatic. The counterculture revolution of the 60s, of which I was a part. Many of you, if you're old enough, you've heard the saying, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. And if you're old enough, you kind of chuckle when you hear it. If you're young, you're like, I don't get that. It means if you were there in the 60s, you were probably high on drugs and you don't remember what happened. So if you claim you remember, you weren't there. But we do remember. We do remember the rebellion. We do remember the pushing against the status quo. We do remember kind of the trashing of the American dream and we need a new and better way. And basically Satan came into that void and filled it with all rebellion and Eastern religion and sex and drugs and rock and roll. Many of us got caught up in that. And the counterculture revolution shifted America in many ways. And the results have been disastrous. I often quote psychologist David Myers, who wrote in the year 2000, if he fell asleep in 1960 and woke up in the year 2000, he'd wake up to the divorce rate doubled, teen suicide tripled, reported violent crime up 4 times, prison population up 5 times, children born out of wedlock up 6 times, couples living together out of wedlock up 7 times.